President George Washington had business interests. He invested in the Siena Canal. He operated a plantation and merchant mill that exported flour to the West Indies and Europe. He even owned his own ocean-going merchant vessels. None of these businesses survive today, but one of his plantation enterprises is making a commercial comeback. NPR's Allison Aubrey took us to the distillery at Mount Vernon, George Washington's estate in Virginia, where she found bottles of aged rye whiskey that come with a price tag George Washington himself might find hard to swallow.
Virginians have always enjoyed their liquor, and for much of the 18th century, their preferred drink was rum. But when war and tariffs made imported rum nearly impossible to come by, George Washington saw an opportunity. Why not make liquor out of grains he was growing on his farms?
He was a businessman, and he was a very, very successful one.
Dennis Pogue directs preservation programs at Mount Vernon. He says by 1799, Washington's distillery was the single most profitable part of his plantation. He couldn't make enough whiskey to meet demand. Now, the distillery has been restored, and I'm about to get a chance to see what Washington's rye whiskey probably tasted like.
This is the first bottle that we've opened for tasting. So, yeah, this is an important day.
Pogue has invited me and a few dozen other guests for a preview of the first aged rye whiskey to come out of the reconstructed distillery.
It's like a steam bath standing here.
It really is.
It's like being in a dark, cavernous barn, and there are the distinctive smells of smoke and fermentation. The distillers are hard at work, and the grain they're using to make whiskey is cooking or steaming in a boiler the size of a bathtub.
You're essentially cooking the grain, and so you're turning the starches in the grain to sugar. And so that's the whole point of it all.
Got it. Can we stick our finger in here and take a little sample?
Yes. And this is about...
it's bitter.
It is bitter. It's about 5 or 6% alcohol. And so the idea then would be to take that and put it in the still, and then after it's distilled down, the alcohol increases considerably, the water content is reduced.
Now, when you distill down to 140 proof or 70% alcohol, it doesn't take too many sips to start feeling a little woozy. And for a crowd like this one, made up of journalists, whiskey devotees, and history buffs, the opportunity to taste whiskey straight from George Washington's distillery, well, you would have thought we were channeling the man himself.
Standing exactly where he stood, being able to see the old books, see the old ledgers, come here and see the stills as though they may have been here the exact same way. It's beyond something special. It's recreating history.
That's Tim Welly. He was visiting from the Hudson Valley, where he's trying to make a go of it as a distiller at a small distillery.
You've got a little taste there. Take a little sip. Tell me what comes to mind.
I'm tasting the 2-year-old rye whiskey that they created here. This is sharp. It is delicious. It is everything that rye is. It's very perfumed and almost sweet to the taste.
That's what shocked me, is that I was expecting that sort of get you in the back of the throat. But this was a lot easier to swallow.
A true mark of a distiller is how easily drinkable this liquid is. 2 years in the barrel softens its harsh edges and really showcases how beautiful of a product he can make.
But there is some uncomfortable history here. Back in Washington's day, the hard work of making whiskey fell to 6 slaves, a fact of history that Mount Vernon's Dennis Pogue says he would never paper over. Washington was, after all, a man of his time, and the whiskey we're drinking is made to his exact recipe.
So it's 60% rye, 35% corn, and 5% malted barley. So I think you're tasting all of that.
Now, would Washington have had it straight like this, or do we know that, did he like a mixer?
So we don't really know how he's drinking it. I think that Washington was probably a neat guy, so I think he's drinking this neat.
Straight.
Straight.
If you'd like to try the whiskey, you've got to make a trip to Mount Vernon in Virginia. There are only 300 bottles available at $185 a pop. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
Bottoms up. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Up next, Flora Lichtman is here with our video pick of the week.
Hi, Ira.
Seasonal.
Seasonal, less controversial than our last topic, because this week's video pick is about pumpkins.
Pumpkins. How could you not like a pumpkin?
I know.
How could it be controversial, a pumpkin?
Well, I don't know if it can be controversial, but these actually are no ordinary pumpkins. This is not your sort of typical jack-o'-lantern. We are talking jack-o'-lantern 2.0, designer pumpkins, call them what you will. These are really fancy pumpkins. We went and talked to master carvers. They're these two guys. They're working in Bushwick in Brooklyn. And in their basement, they have 50 pumpkins. They're carving hundreds of pumpkins every fall. And they end up as works of art.
Yeah, and they gave you some hints about how to carve a pumpkin, what to do the right way.
Yes. So there are a few things that we learned that I thought that kind of, you know, blew my pumpkin out of the water. A lot of things that I took for granted in carving.
Such as?
For example, when you're scooping it out, don't carve off the stem. Why? Because apparently the stem is providing the pumpkin some nutrients. So if you actually carve that hole where you're going to scoop out the seeds and stuff from the back, your pumpkin will last longer. Hmm. So they don't carve the stem.
Don't get rid of this. And don't pick it up by the stem so it breaks off, right?
Another tip. They said they see it all the time, people picking it up by the stem. Don't do that.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR. Here with Flora Lichtman, our multimedia editor, talking about our new video pick of the week. It's up on our website. Gorgeous pumpkin carving. It's artwork, really.
It really
science
is
and art on this one.
It really is science and art. I mean, there are portraits. They have a very spectacular Michael Jackson portrait on one of the pumpkins that you can check out on the video.
And they have Michael Jackson. They have a special one related to the program.
and if that's not enough, they even have a Science Friday pumpkin there for us that that's... they carved on the spot. So let me give you some more tips because, you know, people are getting ready.
This is the season.
So one thing that they do, they don't really carve through the pumpkin. They etch, actually, and they keep the pulp there. So they carve first, they sort of etch it out, and it's going to be the photo negative, right, or the negative of this. So where they go deeper, it will be brighter. And one thing that they do is they carve first and then they scoop, and this is sort of another prolonging the lifespan. But this was my favorite tip. This is one that you can do after you've carved the pumpkin.
There's little tricks that you can do to rejuvenate your pumpkin too. You know, sometimes if you're making a salad and you have some limp lettuce or something in the fridge, you can shock it in some ice water. You can do that with a pumpkin. If it's starting to look a little sad, you fill a big bucket or tub with water and ice and plunge the pumpkin in there. If you leave it in there for a few hours, it'll really perk back up, and it's kind of awesome.
That was Mark from Maniac Pumpkin Carvers. He's one of the founders along with Chris. So I never knew that.
No.
Not that, I mean, most people feel that strongly about keeping their pumpkins.
Right. What do they say? What kind of light? You know, people put candles in there. They put light bulbs. What's the best thing?
This is truly a geek moment. They use candelabra CFLs. There's actually a wire coming out of the back of the pumpkin. And this gives them not only more light, but they've tried incandescents. And they said that when they put the incandescent in, it got really hot. And so it would start to smell like pumpkin pie, which was pleasant. But the pumpkins would just dissolve after a few days.
Very Benji. Very, very, very Benji.
Well, that's a word that, in case people aren't catching that, that's a word we've coined on Science Friday for geek.
Yes. Much better
Benjamin
than
Franklin.
Yes.
So it's very Benji.
And so they gave you more hints? Any more hints?
Any more hints. One thing they do is they seal their pumpkins with Vaseline. I mean, this is really taking it to the next level.
This is geek. This is pumpkin geek, serious geek stuff.
And the reason that this has become important to them is because these pumpkins aren't cheap. I mean, each pumpkin is a couple $100, and so they don't really end up on the stoop usually. They're in advertisements. Tiffany's did an ad with a $3 million diamond in one of their pumpkins.
Whoa.
I know.
Hope they took the seeds out.
High, low, you know? It's very in. And they end up in Yankee Stadium and on album covers. So these are, you know, not your sort of typical thing. But I'm excited to go home and carve.
Yeah. And you watch them. If you want to see our video pick of the week, you want to see how these pumpkins are carved, and what to do to prepare it, keep it fresh.
Give it a bath.
Give it a bath.
That's another tip.
You need to wash it, right?
Because it could get infected, just like if you're doing surgery on anything, you want to clean it first.
That's right. It's up there on our website at sciencefriday.com. You guys laugh now, but you laugh even more when you see this video.
<right. laughs>
At Science Friday.
The laughing has just begun.
And it's funny, but it's also very geeky and very interesting. And it's so gorgeous. The artistry in this is amazing.
No, I mean, we should say, when I saw this, I was blown away. I definitely wasn't. I think what they do is really amazing. These guys are professional illustrators who basically turn their medium to pumpkin when October rolls around. And they do this mostly because they want to have an artistic project. It doesn't sound like they're, you know, making huge bucks.
And the photo, if you're on Facebook, at SciFry Facebook page, you can also see the photo up there of the pumpkin and special edited photo of yours truly on the pumpkin coming up on the website. Thank you, Flora.
Thanks, Ira.
Flora Lichtman, our video pick of the week. Our program senior producer is Annette Heist. Charles Berkowitz is our director. Flora is our multimedia editor. Our producers are Christopher Intagliata, Alessio Bayak. Sam Flato is our production assistant. Our intern is Francie Deep. Neil Rausch is our technical director and spinning the dials here in New York. If you missed any part of our program, go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. You can take that pumpkin podcast and put it on your iTunes. And audio and video, and also we have an Android app. You can take it along with you. Watch it anytime you'd like to. Yeah, it's kind of cool. You can also go to our website at sciencefriday.com. You can watch the video there also. And join our community all week on Facebook and become part of that community and sign up for that also. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flato in New York.